The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea. The West Live. Making news.
And joining us now from the Channel 7 newsroom is Cyan Valance. G'day, Cy.
Happy Friday, Benjamin.
We have made it to the end of the week.
Somehow.
Are you still working tomorrow, though?
No, I have the weekend off.
Oh, you have the weekend off. Oh, that's good. Because I thought you might have had that unfortunate situation as a fill-in where you're filling in for someone else's job, but then you also have to do your job and there's that overlap, which just makes it not that much fun.
Well, it is day 6 of 6.
Oh, there you go.
But
there you go.
We've made it.
You've made it. You're nearly there. You just got to get through this segment and then we'll release you into the wild. And now, talking about wild, a more bikie-linked violence in Perth overnight. We're going to cross to Channel 7's Emily Baker, who's on the scene after we finish this segment. So we'll get the latest on that story. But when you hear about something like this, do you worry? Do you worry about your own safety?
I honestly don't, because, I mean, I think the messaging from police is very clear. This was a targeted attack. And if you're not involved with the bikies, it's sort of, you know, arguments within the clubs or between clubs. And so I don't personally worry. You do worry about people being caught up, like the little boy at the motorplex who was hit by, you know, part of a stray bullet. But it was obviously very targeted. It's one of those things. Honestly, my first thought was, oh, my gosh, again.
Yeah.
Again. It didn't used to be this common.
Yeah, and this is the thing, right? Because the WA government has come out and talked extremely tough about cracking down on the bikies, and like you just have to show a tattoo, a bikie insignia on their clothes, and they'll face big penalties. We saw quite a few of those insignias and tattoos on show with the mourners around the scene of the crime in Nangara overnight. I guess we'll wait and see if the police are going to take any action over that. But you know, it's hard to see those tough laws really having much of an impact at the moment.
Well, obviously they haven't. Someone's just been shot dead. So, I mean, it is interesting to ask what impact the laws have if, you know, the violence just goes on the same. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, and that's just, and this is just the most obvious example of it. Like, what we're not seeing is all of the kind of the under-the-radar criminal activity that's happening as well. And so I guess we'll wait and see a little bit more about this story as it unfolds today. But now let's talk about this smoke haze that's hanging around Perth. So last night, I smelled smoke in my house and I thought, hang on a minute, is there something going on that I need to worry about here? And then opened the window, sort of went outside into the backyard, and it was smoky. It was extremely smoky. And so do we know what's going on?
Prescribed burns. So we got up yesterday. The weather's stunning. I actually went to the beach after doing our little segment yesterday, and it was one of those actually perfect days that you don't get anywhere else. You know, you go out there, it was clear, it was calm, it was stunning. Guess what? It's also perfect for the Departments of Parks and Wildlife to start some fires and backburn to hopefully mean that this bushfire season that's coming up won't be as bad. So you can understand why they're doing it, but it was so disappointing in the afternoon to go outside and it's hazy and gross, and it was massive. So the smoke warning stretched all the way from Two Rocks to Rockingham, and in between, everyone with breathing difficulties, like those with asthma, are being told, you know, like, stay indoors, turn off your air cons, because, you know, for someone like me or you, it's annoying if you have breathing difficulties. It's actually sort of dangerous.
Yeah. And I guess it's good, I suppose, that it's school holidays, because at least you don't have all the kids at school breathing it in the playgrounds and stuff like that. Parents can, you know, take them to the cinema or just keep them inside for the day, so that's all right. But yeah, the timing, not amazing, because Perth does have just the most beautiful spring weather. Sometimes we're lucky over here.
Some days you nail it and it just takes your breath away. I love it.
And now this story broke yesterday, and it's really, really one that is a nightmare. These meth-smoking parents have managed to avoid jail for neglecting their child, but the details of the story are absolutely horrific.
Yeah, they got suspended jail sentences, and this, you know, sometimes there's not much that surprises you in this job, but this was just disgusting. So these two parents have been in a different room, basically just getting high on meth. And in the next room, their two-year-old toddler was being beaten and abused by her older siblings. Now, all those siblings are 10 or younger, so obviously they need some help. But this child was bitten, She was bruised, she was beaten, she had infected fingers and toes, and an injury that's usually only seen in rugby players, cauliflower ear. So she was beaten so badly and so often that her injuries were something that you'd see on an elite sort of contact sport player.
Yeah, which is from repeated injuries
repeated
to the
injuries.
Ear. That causes like the, you know, like the tissue and blood vessels and everything to just become completely trashed by those repeated injuries, and they end up with this crazy swelling of the ear. Like, I actually could not believe when I read that that was one of the injuries that this poor little kid has sustained.
That poor little girl. And they did take her to the doctor and they said, you know, her big brother did it, blah, blah, blah. But then they took her home. The doctors called police. That's when police came, arrested them. They got their suspended jail sentences, but they still have custody. They still have this little girl, which to me, that surprised me more than them not going to jail.
Yeah, all you can hope is that it's just a massive wake-up call for them and they just, you know, lift their game. Like, just it's,
well,
but it's so hard
so.
Though, right? Like, we know how addictive meth is, and just it ruins families all over Western Australia, all over Australia. But gosh, you just really hope that things are okay for that little girl and her older siblings as well, right?
They obviously need help.
Yeah. Because it's a cycle that just continues, goes around and around in circles, and it's like you wonder how it's going to end up. And I'm thinking the same about the Aussie dollar at the moment. So, If you're a billionaire with a thriving export business, you're probably loving where the Aussie dollar is right now, which
spoiler alert, I'm not.
In the toilet. And so tell us, how is the Aussie dollar doing at the moment?
Not great, Ben. Mm. Not if you're heading off to America, especially. So yesterday it fell to, I think it was 63 US cents. Yeah. It's back to around 65 now. The average for this year is 68.5. Look, it's not great, but what the falling dollar is good for is the state budget, because a lower Aussie dollar boosts the value of royalty income. So even though the price of iron ore is going down, the royalties are going up because of the Aussie dollar falling. A lot of up and down there, but
so
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, so it's the sort of thing. It's the sort of thing where if you have to export, people who'll be buying our goods will be buying them for cheaper, so they'll buy more of them compared to other markets where it might not be as cheap. So I guess I understand it from that perspective. But you know, for us as just plebs going on holidays, not an ideal time if you're going to America. You're going to pay a little bit more for that burger and that Budweiser. Mm. But there's not all doom and gloom. Like, the Aussie dollar is trading pretty well at the moment against the Japanese yen, and they're opening their borders next month to tourism again, so that's great. And it's how well do you know the conversion rate between Aussie dollar and Indonesian rupiah? Do you keep it? Have you been to Bali much?
Oh, I haven't been to Bali for years, obviously.
At the moment,
it's like
about 9,800. So,
okay.
So 9,800, which I think is
that's
okay.
Right.
Like, I think it's okay.
That's about what I remember it to be.
Yeah, close to that 10,000 ropes for a dollar. So, you know.
Well,
swings and roundabouts.
We had a crew at the airport the other day for some other story, and there was a group of ladies wearing matching T-shirts saying the Real Housewives of Mandra heading to Bali. So I'm sure they'll be stoked at the exchange rate.
Oh, gosh. And now let's talk about the push to get to zero emissions, which is a big strategy that the Albanese government got elected upon. And a big part of it is going to be what happens in the mining industry, right? Because they're a big producer of emissions. And, you know, it's traditionally not seen as an industry that is the most green, the most environmentally friendly. But we're getting some mining companies now that are being a bit more proactive in pushing towards zero emissions.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of net zero targets. And so basically there is an organisation of sort of mining companies, the members of the International Council of Mining and Metals. So BHP Group and Glencore are part of that. And they are planning to ditch their diesel trucks. So obviously those giant trucks where, you know, the wheels are like triple the size of you, run by diesel. Obviously, you know what your car sucks up. They would be using a lot. So what this group is doing is they're looking at launching some pilot sites for zero emission options, sort of like hydrogen cars and that sort of thing, to help them move towards their net zero targets. And the interesting thing I find about this is that probably the discoveries they make will be able to carry over to sort of regular people if they make some interesting discoveries that could benefit not just mine sites, but hopefully wider society.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And how long do you think it's going to be before we see like an absolute huge amount of EVs on metro roads?
Well, we are so far behind in Western Australia.
We really are, aren't we?
There are so many European countries that have outlawed the sale of petrol cars by 2030, which is 8 years. That is not very,
it's going to come around real quick.
Yeah. And so we need to be on the front foot. I know, you know, they've launched the electric highway, but it's the price point. I think that still is so difficult for so many people. So I think it will be a couple of decades, or I could be surprised and it could just happen really quickly. You know, sometimes that happens. Who remembers what life was like before the iPhone? I don't.
Yeah, I know, right? And now, are you excited about the Waffle Grand Final tomorrow?
Absolutely. I think it'll be a great game. And obviously it's historic because it's returning to Leaderville Oval. So it's West Perth versus Claremont. Who are you going for?
Well, I don't really have any skin in the game when it comes to either of these teams, but I was talking to a waffle umpire yesterday at an event that I was at, and so I took the opportunity to really grill him on who he thought was the most likely. He wasn't umpiring in the grand final, but he said, look, Claremont is capable of definitely playing a winning game, but West Perth being the best team all year, no reason to think that they're not going to get the job done. That's how he put it.
Which is basically what everyone said about the AFL Grand Final, and look what happened. But around 14,000 people, that's a sellout crowd, are expected at Leaderville Oval, and the whole precinct is going to become Footyville from 6 a.m. So there's going to be roads closed, big screens, entertainment, so a whole footy festival, which is great to get people involved in the waffle. But if you can't be bothered to get involved in that, it is going to be live and free on Seven.
Yeah, and like this is going to be a big spectacle, right? Don't you reckon?
Oh my gosh, totally.
Like you've got all the streets closed off and people flocking there, and people who can't get a ticket will still be hopefully just hanging around soaking up the vibe.
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
why wouldn't you?
Get
Love
into it.
It. Love it. And now talking with footy at the moment, let's talk about the Optus Stadium naming debate, because when the stadium was built, it was originally called Perth Stadium. Colin Barnett would have loved to have seen it kept as Perth Stadium, as a branding thing for Western Australia, which I see some merit to that. Of course, the naming rights were sold to Optus, which was, you know, it could be worse. Like, do you remember when they were going to sell the naming rights to Subiaco Oval and it was going to be Crazy John's Oval for a little while there?
Oh my gosh,
there?
Yes, I'd forgotten about that.
So compared to Crazy John's Oval, yeah. Optus Stadium sounds fine. Until, you know, the past week or so, when Optus has been involved in one of the worst data breaches in the history of Australia. And so now there is a debate about what we call our palace of football. Where's that at the moment?
So this was actually started by Jorn Sidma, one of the few Liberal politicians in Parliament. And he basically has come out and he's tweeted that, you know, he thinks it needs to change. So his exact tweet: "The Mark McGowan cheap and sordid decision to sell Perth Stadium's naming rights to Optus is looking even more terrible now. The contract should be annulled at Optus' expense and the original Perth name restored." Mm. So Basil Zemplis has also written in The West today saying he thinks that should happen. The government disagrees quite strongly. They sent a statement this morning to me and I will read it to you. I don't often read a statement word for word, but this one I think needs to be. "This is another pathetic and weak attack by a party that has no direction or idea. Every West Australian knows the WA Liberals destroyed the state's finances after 8.5 years in office. The Liberals' reckless and irresponsible budget management was the reason the naming rights deal was absolutely necessary as part of our efforts to repair the budget in 2017.
Yeah, well,
I mean, what he said,
it's kind of all true. Basically, back then, you know, Mark McGowan inherited a treasury that was basically, you know, a couple of 20-cent pieces, and that was it. And so he's had to build it up from scratch. And part of that was selling off the naming rights to Perth Stadium. But now, though, we're in a very different financial position.
Very different.
Just posted a massive $6 billion surplus. And so maybe now is the time to go, do you know what? While we can afford it, let's ditch Optus. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there'd be legal ramifications for that. But
I'd say there would be.
But at the end of the day,
that's the point that Basil made
bucks,
today.
Right? Only a few million bucks.
Yeah, it would be 25 because it's halfway through. So the deal was made 10 years ago. It was a $50 million deal. And now, so it would be $25 million essentially. And that's the point that Basil made in the paper today. You know, that is a drop in the bucket compared to $6 billion.
Yeah.
You can see the tourism benefits of a Perth Stadium because it becomes so natural. Oh, Optus Stadium, Optus. You say it all the time without thinking, but it is quite amazing branding. So if it was Perth Stadium, that would be amazing as well. But it's one of those things where, you know, it is a signed contract, and back 5 years ago, very different position.
Yeah, very different position. Like, if it was me, I'd find a way to weasel out of the contract if you could, call it per stadium while we're swimming in cash, and then when, you know, the inevitable roller coaster starts going down the other side, as it always does in Perth, that's the time to sell it to see if Crazy John's is still
someone else.
boost juice. It's who else have we got? Clive Palmer? Yeah. Mineralogy?
Okay, we don't want your ideas anymore, Ben. Thanks so much.
Si, thank you so much for joining me in the studio. Next week, you're going to be coming on the show with my good mate Tim Clark. He'll be filling in for me.
Yeah, I checked when you were on leave and I thought that's when I'll fill in for Matt.
Appreciate that. You have a great weekend.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
To have your say, or if you have a story, email the team at thewestlive@wanews.com.au.